This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Perfectly Mentored. I'm your host, Jason Portnoy. My guest today is someone who's had a pretty big presence on social media that I've been following in the last few months, and was able to meet him at a conference recently and kind of twisted his hand and got him on the podcast. His name is Jason Swank. He's run an agency for over 11 years or even more, 12 years,
Jay? 12 years.
12 years. Built it to over 100 people, had clients like Coca-Cola, LegalZoom, Hitachi, and then one of the few people who left the agency world by actually making a profit. Most people you meet talk to you about selling their agencies and don't tell you that it was profitable. He was actually profitable and now goes on and teaches other people how to do the same. Jason, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Jason. And great name, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel the same. Feelings mutual. why don't you give us and the listeners a little bit of your story and background?
Yeah, so in 1999, I graduated college, Florida State. We're not doing so hot this year. But went to go work for a company called Arthur Andersen, the now infamous paper shredding company. And I worked for them for about 6 months until I was like, I hated it. And I think I was fired. Like, I always tell everybody I was been fired from every single job because I don't quit. I have to make them fire me. But I was just lucky enough at the time that my friend looked like Justin Timberlake. And so I created a fake band, fake website called In Shit, making fun of NSYNC. And it got popular. And people started asking me to design websites for them. And so that's how I got my start. And so for years and years, I was just going through the phone book, doing websites. And then I started to get serious and I wanted to hire people. So then we just kept building the team, working with bigger brands. And then, you know, 12 years later, a couple people came along, was like, hey, we want to buy you. And I was like, we're not for sale. And then they just kept saying, we want to buy you. And we're like, okay, fine. And then I was like, what do I do now? I'm bored. And it took me a little bit to find this thing. So that's it in a nutshell.
So why now helping other people like build their businesses and build their agencies? I mean, going from clients to that is, you know, from one problem to another, and now you're getting back into it, but you're not getting a piece of growing that business. Now you're just becoming that coach helping people.
Yeah. Well, so it was by accident, really. Like, think about anything else. So I got in the agency space by accident because I was doing a website. And literally, truth be told, when I sold my agency, I was completely depressed after week one. I literally was like, is this it? Like, is this the greatest point? Like, now what? Like I just didn't have that significance that I needed. And so I was like, well, let me go do an iPhone app. So I did this stupid iPhone app because Instagram got bought for $1 billion. I was like, oh, I can do the same thing, but better, right? Like everybody else. And I didn't like it. And I was just lucky enough that some of my old competitors reached out to me and was like, hey, can you mentor me on what you did at your agency? And I started helping them out for free. And I really got a lot of significance and a lot of reward from actually seeing their success. And my wife was like, well, why don't you do this for a business? And so then I was like, well, is there a need? And she's like, well, all these people are coming to you. I was like, okay, well, let me create a podcast. Let me put out some content. And I just got a lot of significance out of it. And I just started looking back and going, I want to create a resource I wish I had. And so that's our whole driving force of why we do what we do.
So what's the similarity between building agencies and building a business? Because some people listening may not have an agency. Can the same lessons you teach be applied to building a business?
Most definitely, right? So wherever you are in your business right now, from where you want to go, it's all about setting up the right systems. And I'm not talking about technology, right? So think about it. A lot of people get into business, and I'm going to relate more into the service-based industry just because that's where I've come from, okay? So I'll try to apply it to other things, but I'm probably not that good at that stuff. But in a service, you probably knew how to do something cool, and someone offered you money for it, and you kind of got in it by accident. So then what you started doing is you started being reactive to what's coming to you, and you grew your business based on referrals or word of mouth, which just isn't scalable if you think about it, right? It's depending on someone else. And we never knew what we wanted to say yes to or what we needed to say no to. We didn't have that clarity or that vision of what we wanted to do. So then you start to go to hire employees. And think about it this way. Let's say you're on a boat from New York to London, and you have your team on your boat, but you haven't told them where you're going. And you are operating that boat for 12 hours, and you're like, dude, I'm tired. I got to go take a nap. So you go down and take a nap. Well, every 5 minutes when the boat changes course, your team is waking you up, asking you questions. That's the same thing about not providing direction to your company. So it all starts with having clarity of where you want to go, what you need to say yes to, what are your core values, why are you doing this, and then surrounding yourself with that team and creating that right foundation. Does that make sense for kind of like system one?
Yeah, I love it. And I think most people, their goal is to have a business that works for them and not them to work for their business. So we were going to get to there. So this is the perfect, like what are some tips that people should be writing down right now in order to make that happen? Actionable steps to get to that level where your business works for you.
So I think it's about breaking down your roles as a CEO. So you need to transform from an owner to a CEO. And a lot of us have never been a CEO before, right? We're used to doing, taking out the garbage, answering the phones, like, you know, doing project management, all this kind of stuff. And this relates to any business when you start, right? You have to do everything because, and I feel that's a good way to do it because then you'll understand what these other people are. It's kind of like undercover boss, but before you're actually a boss, right?
Yeah.
And so the roles I would tell you that you have to transform into is set the vision and direction of the business of what you're doing, because this will give power to your team to make a decision. I'll prove this point even with this particular business I'm doing now. We were writing a blog post of the top marketing conferences agencies need to go to. There was two companies on there or two conferences that I hated these companies. And like Jason, I would be like, no, we're not putting these guys on there. And my team was able to call me out and go, Jason, are these good conferences for the agencies? I said, yes. And they're like, well, isn't that our vision? Isn't that our goal? I said, yes, put it on there. Right? You called me on the BS. So it allows your team to make decisions without you and to make better decisions. It's about, and the other thing too that I've learned over time is when you're communicating the vision to your team and you start delegating, you want to delegate outcomes, not tasks. If you delegate tasks, it's going to put a very finite kind of movement left to right, right? It doesn't give them much wiggle room. But if you tell them, hey, here are the outcomes I want you to go do, I allow you free rein. Just be ethical, right? And go do it. And so that's kind of the first role you need to follow in. And that's one of the most important.
I like the outcome versus task. I think then people feel more creative in the process and getting the job done as well.
Yeah.
But how hard is it, or how hard was it for you to let go of certain tasks? You know, because most people, especially when they've been working a long time in their business, feel that they could always do it better, faster than everyone else. And I believe that part of the learning curve is, yes, I believe I could do it faster and better than that person, but I need him to make the, or she, to make those mistakes. I kind of want those mistakes to happen, and I need to let go and let them fall on their face, like kind of raising a kid. You need them to fall off the bike a couple of times. You need them to scrape their leg so they know what to do, or touch the stove to know it's too hot. At some point, like, how do you teach owners to let go?
It literally takes a second to make the decision, but it literally takes a lifetime to literally commit to it, right?
Yeah.
They have to go through enough pain. It's the same thing as like, if you want to lose weight, don't eat the cookie. Like, it's about like, are you looking for short-term gain where you're going to eat that cookie? Or are you wanting the long-term gain of actually losing that weight and fitting into the dress that we used to wear in high school? Wait, did I say we used to wear a dress? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So it's literally, you have to make longer term decisions. So it's going to take you a little bit longer for your team to figure it out, but you have to let them fail.
I agree. But I still think, you know, sometimes people don't hire fast enough because they sit there and say, I need to do this, or I can't let go of this, or whoever I hire won't be as good as me. But then you're always going to be working for your business.
Yeah, it's, you have to think of like there's different business cycles. So there was I can't remember who did this. I think it was called like predictable success model. And I think he talks about in the very beginning, like in the startup phase, like you figure out, you know how to do a service, right? And it becomes fun, right? Like you're getting clients, you're making money, it's fun, but the whole business is dependent on you. Then when you start wanting to scale, you start hiring more people, which means you need more systems, which means it's going to get complex. And so it goes through this stage called whitewater. And every business goes through whitewater. And then they have a decision to make. They have a decision to make going, well, the only way through whitewater is to implement systems so I can get to predictable success. Or, and you'll know when you're in whitewater when you go, man, why can't it go back to the way it was? Because it was just fun, yeah. Right? And you can make a decision and go back, but the business is totally on you. And there's no right or wrong answer. You just have to figure out what's right for you. Like, are you creating this lifestyle business, or you want to create a scalable model that, you know, doesn't need you all the time? Like, how amazing would it be if you could take off a month and not check email or phone and have your team make all the decisions? Like, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, but you need to let go.
The problem is, we want instant gratification now, right? We live in a world of now. You look at all the courses, and this is your world too, the courses of, you know, 3 steps or 3 weeks to Facebook success, 3 weeks to build $1 million agency, when it's almost like I kind of want to put out the course of, you know, 8 years to build a successful agency. You know, the 8 years to build a successful agency, and no one would buy it. But it's almost like that's the truth. Like, you go to the gym, you don't get a six pack the first time you go to the gym. It's over 2 weeks. And, you know, the same metaphor with the guy who
chopped. You could get a six pack in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll sign up for that course. Trust me. or the guy who chops at the tree, right? You know, the first chop, he doesn't notice anything. Second chop. And then eventually, you know, 150 chops later, the tree falls down. What do you think of the way this industry is going right now?
It's crap, right? I always tell everybody there's no such thing as a silver bullet. The only silver bullet out there is the one that you can create yourself. So I always like to tell people, I give you the silver, and then you have to morph your silver into your own bullet, right? There's no one size fits all. It's just like, whatever I do with my course, I'm trying to give you a guide and a foundation to follow and then to grow on. And like, we were joking around, and I even joked around on stage at the conference. I'd be like, you know, someone asked me, what's the refund policy? I said, well, you're not ready yet. You need to digest all this. If you want a refund policy, there's a certain person that, you know, shamelessly talks about his Ferraris and Lambos that will be nameless. I don't want to give them any fame here, right? That you need to go to. And I literally link my refund policy to his site.
That's hilarious. But it's true. I mean, if you're asking for that, it's the same thing as saying, what are your guarantees?
Yeah, there's no guarantees. All I can guarantee you is the money that you give to me or whoever, you're never going to see back unless you put action into it.
Yep.
And even if you put action into it, there's still not a guarantee because your market, your situation is different, but you might have a better leg up. And that's the one reason why I put out so much free content. And that's why I told that individual, I was like, you're not ready for me. Go digest the thousands of pieces of content out there. If you like that, you may like this other stuff. If you hate that, you are going to hate me. Go away, right?
And something that I've learned from you that you do really well is you qualify. You sit there and say, not everyone should work with me. I don't care if you're willing to pay me. I don't care what it is, but you shouldn't be working with me if you're this, 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 and this. And I think that's super important. Most people don't do it. Most people don't say no to business. So how important is it to start saying no to business for people?
Well, you have to know who you're going after, right? It goes back to clarity. You have to know who you want to serve and who you can help. Or better yet, if you were only going to be paid on performance only, what would the criteria be of those people? Now, when you're starting out, you have to try everything. It's kind of like a Vegas buffet. You got to be like, I want some more of that green stuff, and I want some more of that other stuff, and try it all out. But then it's a process of elimination over time. But if you've been doing business for a while, you need to be like, look, this didn't work, this didn't work, this didn't work. What is my perfect criteria? What does that perfect look like? Like, when people work with me, I say, you have to be uncomfortable. If you're comfortable and you're happy and you're loving life, I can't help you because you're never going to execute on anything. Like, you're fat and happy. I want you to be like, I want something more. And then that's kind of the first criteria.
I love it. Talking about scaling businesses, What are some mistakes that you see people make when it comes to scaling? And I guess I'll kick it off with this question. Can a business scale too quickly or too fast?
Yes, it can. Especially if you don't have the right systems. We've seen this, like, you know, a lot of your listeners might be like a digital marketer, right? They came out with an agency many years ago and they scaled extremely. And this is public knowledge. I'm not telling anybody anything that no one knows, but they took on millions of dollars in sales, but they couldn't deliver and they had to give all that money back. Okay. So they scaled too quickly. I think the biggest mistake when trying to scale your business is not charging enough. I really do. Like, at the end of the day, there's two ways to scale. Do more services. Oh, wait. Do more services. I was flicking you off by mistake.
We should talk about your mini chat speech.
My mini chat speech. Yes, we should. About you blowing me up. So the other side. We'll do that as the funny thing now. Yeah. Right? So you can either charge more or you can do more services. Those are really the two ways to scale. And I always like charging more. But in order to charge more, you got to make sure there's value there. We were joking around before we hit record. There's lots of people that teaches courses about how to do a particular service. And then those people don't know how to get results, which is scary.
And that's kind of, you know, I talk about this a lot in our industry, right? And this, in the marketing and the advertising industry, there's a lot of people that are promising things. There are a lot of people that are burning our reputation out there, which makes it hard for, I mean, you're not so much on this side of the game anymore, but on the client services side, you get into the, well, I've been burnt before. And actually, you could probably relate because so many people have signed up for courses. Yep. On how to scale agencies or how to scale businesses that, you know, took their $5,000 or whatever it was and never, or some people charge $25,000, and don't deliver. So it's come to a point where it's almost like we pass on the not delivering to the client. We sit there and say, well, we tried everything, but we just couldn't do it. And then the next time you reach a client, the client calls out, they're like, I've been burnt for $25,000. I don't want to pay you when you know you could actually deliver.
Yep.
It's
So the way I handle that objection is a couple ways. I ask them a quick question. Have you ever eaten out before? And they're like, yeah, of course. Cool. Have you ever had a bad experience at a restaurant? Yeah, I have. Do you still eat out? Of course I do. You just don't eat at that one restaurant anymore. And it's all about just figuring out how do you build trust? And how do you deliver some results before you ask for marriage? And it's all about, and this works for any particular service-based business, right? Everybody should be creating amazing amounts of content that actually helps people to prove to them that they're actually different. Like, for example, even looking at my industry, right? There's tons of people that sell courses, but they don't have any podcasts out there, any videos, any free stuff. All they promise is buy my course and I'll make you a seven-figure agency. Right? And so it's a big commitment. And then they get burned. That's why we put out three pieces of free content. Like, we want our free content to be better than everybody else's. And then what we'll do is we'll think about what are the little ways that we can actually help them and make a less commitment. So like slice off part of your offering and go, let's develop a strategy together and see how we can actually help you out. And at the end of the strategy, you're going to either love the plan or you go execute it yourself. You'll love the plan, you may want our help, or you'll hate the plan, I'll give your money back. So there's nothing for you to lose. And you're basically just doing a mini commitment with them to make sure that you are both in the right parties. And I think if you guys start thinking about this for your business, you'll close a lot quicker and you'll actually get more money in the long run because you've already proven your results.
I think a lot of people, and this is something I've been super fascinated with, and the listeners will know that it's been a common question amongst almost all the podcasts that we've done in a bit, is imposter syndrome. Of people not believing they're worth that amount. How do you coach your clients to get over that? Because you just talked about being able to charge enough. That means full conviction and belief that you're worth that amount.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I even have to coach myself on it, right? I mean, everybody has that, and we always have that self-doubt because, you know, as we take on clients, sometimes they squeak in, like the wrong people squeak in, and then you don't get the results that you wish that they would. and then you actually have self-doubt. But it's all about, and the only way through this is to truly measure the value you're delivering to your clients. So what we do, and how we got over this, is every 6 months, because we have intimate knowledge of all of our clients, every 6 months we measure the results that they're getting. We average it up, and then we divide it by 10. And that's how we come up with pricing. But before, like, we did that, we were like, are we charging too much? Are we charging too little? Like, we want to make sure people are getting a result, but we couldn't figure it out. And here's the problem in a lot of businesses, especially service-based businesses. They don't understand the value that they're delivering. If they don't understand, their clients won't understand. Like, we've all been at a place where we've had amazing results for clients. And then those clients leave, and we're like, what is going on? Well, we did a shitty job, We did a shitty job at communicating the value, or because we didn't understand the value. But if you understand the value, you're going to keep your clients a lot longer. And if you're able to communicate that to them, you're going to keep them even longer. And if you know the value, you're going to constantly keep raising your prices. So what we always challenge ourselves with at our team is, how do we deliver more value so we can charge more, so we can scale?
Gotcha. When it comes to then hiring, right, what's the most important hire for a business? Is it just about solving bottlenecks?
It's different for every business. And I think it comes down to self-awareness of what you're good at. You know, so I remember when I was running my agency, we got to a point, we were about the 2 million mark, and I wanted to quit. I just didn't like it anymore. I was miserable. My wife's like, go get a job somewhere. I started chatting with NASCAR about, and that was cool. I was a race car driver at the time, not for NASCAR, but sports cars. And they asked me two questions that changed everything. They said, what do you want to do every day? And what don't you ever want to do? Which made me self-aware of what I need to be doing and what I want to do. And I knew I could create that. So everything outside on the no list, I was like, well, how can I say no, or does it need to be done? Well, who do I need to hire? And that's how I would hire. And then I would also make sure, and don't do this just to check mark the box, but you have to figure out, what are your internal core values, which in turn, what are your company's core values? You are, the company is you. You have to start there, or your business partners, or however many you guys have there. Figure out those core values and what you believe in. And then find those people that believe in those core values and believe in what you guys are going for. And you'll hire the right people every single time. Or, well, almost every time.
I think that's a great answer. I was expecting something like account manager or bookkeeper. So I really like that answer. You left client services, right? So you kind of left that world only to come back and help people navigate through that world. What made you want to come back into this world? I know maybe it's because you've actually had success in it, but what part of coaching do you like the most?
Well, I tell people I don't coach them. I'm not a coach, right? Coach is going to work on people's mental. So I always tell everybody I'm your mentor. I've been there. I've done that. I'll guide you through what worked for us, and then we'll customize it to you. So I always hate the word coach. It's kind of like how Gary hates motivational speaker. Like, that's the nails on the chalkboard for me, because there's all these life coaches out there that are like 20 years old. I'm like, what life experience? Like how are you going to help me? And so that's how I look at it. But you know, I had full intent, and I may still do, to create an agency after I sold. I was just waiting for the 2-year non-compete. I just found this before the non-compete was over. And I'm even looking at possible opportunities now of maybe starting one again. I don't know. You know, you never know what's going to happen, but this is a place where I can have a lot of significance and impact. And I really have a lot of passion and joy for it. When that stops, I'll do something else. Like I was telling you, I'm moving out to, you know, Durango, Colorado. They have the steam engine out there. I think when I lose the passion for this, if I ever do, I'm just going to work on steam engines.
You've actually put in the work to actually get to that point where you could just do that, or that's your life work. Yep. The industry changed though, you know, so when did you sell?
2012.
Okay, so since 2012, 2018, the industry's changed a little bit.
Big time.
One of the things is something that we've talked about before is that now everyone's opening up a shop. Everyone's an advertiser. Everyone's an expert. Everyone has a marketing agency. You help your clients kind of navigate through that and kind of break through and become the best. But by you actually having this type of business shows how much the industry changed, because there's a demand for people to learn how to build agencies. I'm going to flip it a little bit. Clients listening to this, what can you advise them on choosing a right person to work with?
Such a good question. You know, you got to think about, do you understand the process and the plan, right? Don't look at their references. Everybody's going to give you a good reference. Don't look at their awards. All those awards are made up shit, right? Anybody can buy the awards. Don't even look at the people on stages, because people can buy their way on stages. And so what I always tell people is look at the work that they're putting out. Do they practice what they preach? How many web design agencies out there have crappy websites? And what is their excuse? We're too busy. Don't judge us on this. Bullshit. We were able to redesign our website every single year, and we practice what we preach. Same thing I do right now.
So what about just to interrupt, there's a famous expression, right, that the builder usually has the ugliest house on the block?
Stupid. That's a crappy builder. It's kind of like me going to a bald person to get my hair cut. Or like, and look at my hair. I mean, it's nothing good either, right? So it makes no sense. But the biggest thing is understand the plan. So when I would teach people how to race cars, it's very important to understand this. And I would go, Jason, you're going to go through that corner at over 100 miles per hour. You're going to be like, the shit I am. I just have a kid. I don't want to die. But if I could explain the plan to you, and then I could show you how it works, you're going to be able to go through that corner at 100 miles per hour. The same thing is when you're evaluating a company to work for. Understand the plan. See if you can test them out in certain areas. Like if they're pitching marriage right off the bat, I'd probably run. Like be like, dude, can I just try? Like, can we just do a strategy session? I'll pay you for it. And you'll make better decisions, but it is hard. Like I've been burned by a couple agencies that I've hired. So, you know, it's just, you just gotta trust your gut and just go from there. I wish there was a silver bullet for it. I'd make a course on it.
No, I just thought, because of your involvement with so many agencies right now, how important is it when you filter in guys who are doing it, how important is it that client relation, that client management, setting those client expectations in terms of building the agency? How much do you focus on that?
It's huge. I don't work with anybody that's not delivering results. Like on the application process that they deliver, and I do extensive research on the people coming, like if they have a bad name out there or they don't understand the value that they're actually delivering, I won't work with them because my name's on it. Because I don't want people to be like, oh, Jason helped this person sell their services, but they can't deliver on it. That's going to look bad on me if they ever found that out. So I want to make sure that they're legit. So, you know, I would just, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, I've been burned before. It's just, you got to understand the process. You got to try them out and just do baby steps. And
the last thing I'd add to that, and obviously, you know, I'm a bit biased because, you know, I have clients that I run marketing for, is make sure whoever you hire understands the long game versus the short game.
Yes.
I think that's one of the most important things. And I don't work with clients. So just the same way you want a client to have a person, I will not work with any client that wants immediate satisfaction, doesn't understand the long game.
Yeah. The other good criteria is, are they asking tons of questions? Or are they just jumping in, telling you what you need to do and prescribing? There's no way someone could prescribe to you right off the bat. They need to ask tons of questions and understand your current situation in order to figure that out.
The amount of clients that show me their ads and then sit there and say, okay, so in your opinion, what should we do? I'm like, we should honestly have an hour phone call to discuss your business. Because if you think I'm going to look into this and tell you exactly how to fix it, I don't even know who you're going after. is my audience wrong? That's one of the best things I get. I said, I don't know your business. Who are you going after? If you're targeting race car drivers, but you're actually going after truckers, yeah, your audience is wrong, but I won't know that until you tell me what your audience is or who you're trying to target. Do you only work with agencies, or do you work with, if someone, you know, has a business and it's not in the, it's maybe service-based, or it's not an agency and they want to work with you and learn how to scale, do you work with any type of business?
I only work with agencies.
Sorry, guys.
I know that work. I have tons of people coming to me for the others, but I'm obsessed over agencies, and that's my mission.
So before we go, where do you see the future for agencies these days?
Man, there's so much. I think it's, you know, obviously coming back from, you know, the Conversations conference, right? I really see a big shift going about the user experience, and not just using websites and technologies. Like, my prediction in the next couple years, like 5 years, more brands will get away from using their websites, and it will be having conversations on different platforms outside of the websites. I just see that already. I mean,
there are brands right now that are building their actual brand on Instagram. Instagram is their website. Instagram is where they showcase, and now with shoppable tags, they can actually go in and buy right on the platform.
Yeah. And the naysayers are saying, well, you're messing out with people on borrowed land. Even your website's on borrowed land. Think about Google changing the algorithms and taking you off the directory. You're on borrowed land anywhere. So I just believe you just have to think about, how do I reach and how do I deliver the most best results, and not try to automate everything. I hate when people try to automate everything. Like, if you go to my contact page, it goes to a messenger bot. But I tell you, in the first couple questions, you're going to talk to Don Draper bot, right? And
that's what you named your bot?
Don bot. And it has them smoking a cigarette,
that's
right?
Hilarious.
And I'm upfront with them. I'm transparent. I say, look, Don's going to ask you a couple questions, tell you a couple jokes, and then you'll chat directly with me. I respond to everybody. And to prove it, I even record my voice. And I'm like, hey, Jason, this is Jason. Let me know if I can help you out with any. I do it with everybody. From the conference, I had like 800 people hit me up. It took me almost a day to respond to everybody, but I did it. And I think if brands really started thinking about, how do I connect with the audience versus automate everything, it would be a lot better place.
I love it. People want to work with you. Now I'll let you give your shameless plug. You know, where can people find you? You know, just drop all the 411 right now. I'll also link it up in the show notes.
Yeah, I just go to my website, jasonswank.com. It's spelled with an E. If you spell it with an A, you might be surprised. I don't own that magazine. So it's SWENK. And, you know, just check out the free stuff. And if you like this stuff and you need help, you know, just contact me. When you go on my contact page, it goes to a messenger bot. Don will address you, and then you'll chat directly with me, and I can tell you if I can help you out or not. I can't help everybody. I can only help a select few, and you know, maybe it could be you guys. So,
and what I love is, I tell anyone who's ever on the show who says something like, you know, I'm accessible. I tell all the listeners, the people that are on this show, I know. So I'm telling you, test them. You know, test him. If you don't believe Jason's accessible and you don't believe he's going to respond, test it. If you didn't believe Jasmine Starr is going to respond to you, test her. Go out and do it. Jason, thank you so much for doing this. I know you just got back from a conference, and you know, I think you want a little bit of time to wind down, but I appreciate you doing this.
Thanks for having me, Jay.